Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Have no place to go, darling. Goodbye, baby. Yes, I'm going. Yes, I'm going.
Good morning, 6:10 in the morning. Happy Halloween to you. It's the Steve Cochran Show. Everybody's excited about their costumes.
Yeah.
You guys, this is fun.
I don't even know who this person is. That's all I'm going to say.
The listeners are excited.
That didn't sound very exciting.
Come on, team.
I'm not excited.
I like my costume, Andrea.
Yours is a beautiful red dress.
I know. I feel very
royal.
Lovely. Yes.
Everybody in the group is of royalty. That's all we'll say. We'll do the big unveil in the 7 o'clock hour.
I was expecting to see cauldrons of candy everywhere, but no.
I brought three pieces of candy and two are for you, Steve.
All right.
Isn't there an animal?
A Reese's, a Twix, and I got a Kit Kat.
All right, I'll take the Kit Kat.
Okay. It's all for you. But I'm excited. Love Halloween. Trick or treats tonight. Only going to be high of what, 42 degrees, Steve, is what they're saying?
Something like that. I mean, so you're going to have to either wear something layers under the costume or layers over the costume, especially for kids tonight.
I remember one year I was strawberry shortcake and I was so excited. It was a cute little dress and the white socks with the green stripes and I had to wear a coat over it.
I know.
Yeah, my daughter was Dorothy one year, and she had to wear a coat, too, and she was so cute with little Toto baskets.
I just love seeing the kids.
I think little kids in costumes are cute. Us in costumes, not so much.
Hey, we're going to look good. Trust me, we'll look good. Grzanich has got his costume. He looks good. Well, it's all going to be
He didn't say cute.
He does look good. Well, his character might not be cute. It's more...
It's a very befitting costume of me.
No, it's very commanding. How about that? Not commando, commanding.
Okay.
The very commanding performance of that.
Are tights involved?
No.
We're not going to do any tights. All right, 6:12, let's kick it off. Let's start the show. How about the top six at six?
It's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
With the top six at six. Sponsored by American Weathermakers, the home of the 60-Minute Man.
All right, number one on the list. Obviously, yesterday, one of the busiest days so far for the Robert Mueller investigation. Three indictments handed down. Steve broke the news early yesterday. Paul Manafort, Richard Gates, and George Papadopoulos were the three involved. Now, what do you think, Steve? We'll have more news this week, or I don't know.
Yeah, it's hard to tell, but yesterday, out of all of those, George Papadopoulos was the sleeper out of the whole group because... He was arrested back in July.
Mm-hmm.
He was charged and pleaded guilty in October. So he's been working with the special counsel for months now, probably as a cooperating witness. And that should scare anybody that's involved with any potential wrongdoing.
Completely agree. Yep, yeah. Because he already pleaded guilty. If there was any sort of a deal or whatnot worked out, remember Pat Brady was on with us yesterday saying that would all be worked out ahead of the indictments, which likely might have happened here. We don't know if we got what his deal included or if he even got one for that matter. But yeah, you're right, Steve. George Papadopoulos to me is a sleeper. And quite honestly, throughout the Greek community, we're putting our feelers out yesterday. We've reached out to his attorney, Thomas Breen, a local attorney who we deal with all the time. We're trying to effort him to be on the program a little bit later on this morning as well. But just hearing some different things about Mr. Papadopoulos. He was from Lincolnwood, went to DePaul University, had a couple of his professors talking yesterday to CNN and ABC News, giving some not-so-flattering comments about him as a young student.
Yeah, and you mentioned whether or not we could see more indictments. USA Today had an interesting tidbit yesterday about how there are, I think, five or six sealed indictments that are in the numerical section between Papadopoulos and Manafort that could be Mueller indictments that are sealed. I think there were five or six of them. Obviously, they could be other cases as well, but it's interesting that they're between, the numbers are between. You would think if they were going to do a bunch of indictments and seal them, they'd all pick those same numbers in numerical order. So we'll see if that's a tidbit that will pay out later.
Boy, no kidding. And if you're looking for some light reading, you can read the unsealed court documents. They are online. It's going to take some time, but boy, you're going to have to do some needling. I tell you, this is not the end. It's certainly just the very tip of the iceberg. That's number one and two. Okay, this is a great story, very interesting story. A judge yesterday halted a White House policy barring military service by transgender troops, ruling that it's most likely unconstitutional based on disapproval of transgender people generally. So what that means is the judge in this case giving a pretty harsh ruling in a 76-page ruling saying there's no support for the claim that the ongoing service of transgendered in the military would have any negative effect on the military at all. And what I found interesting about this too, Steve, it said that there's considerable evidence that banning such individuals would have negative effects.
Yeah, and it's a victory. It's, I guess it's a victory for facts, isn't it?
Absolutely.
This judge was very kind of harsh with the facts part of this, that there are no facts to bear out this ban whatsoever.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with that. Yeah, very harsh ruling saying we disagree. The Justice Department saying we disagree with the court's ruling, and they will be evaluating the next steps. Next. Lisa Madigan out with the annual warning to be careful out there when sending your kids out to trick-or-treat. And it's a harsh and unfortunate fact in 2017 that we have to say this, but check the sex offender registry list in Illinois when you go out.
And maybe here's another suggestion. Go with your kids.
Mm-hmm. How about that?
Yeah. You know, and when we were kids, the biggest fear was that somebody would put something in our candy.
Yep.
I remember we had to take our candy to the hospital. The hospital every Halloween did x-rays of candy. That was a long, long time ago. But now you have to check a sex offender list. That just seems like, you know.
Boy, these states were crazy that Lisa Madigan released yesterday. 30,000, more than 30,000 registered sex offenders on the Illinois State Police list, and more than 24,000 of those committed a crime against a child. So be careful. Dave, great point. Go trick-or-treating with your kids. It's a fun night. Bundle up. Take a couple hours and go get some candy.
And watch for the purple pumpkin or the teal pumpkin?
Oh, what's that?
The teal pumpkin indicates that the person, the treats don't have peanuts in them, I believe.
Oh, okay, right.
So if you have a peanut allergy or some sort of allergy, these are non-allergenic treats that'll be handed out there.
There you go.
That's a very interesting thing this year.
Yeah.
I bought the bag of the chocolate candy, like the Kit Kats, and then I bought a whole bag of like Twizzlers, candy that has just no chocolate and no nuts in it.
Do you think there's anything wrong with people handing out little bottles of Purell to trick-or-treaters?
No, I think that's a nice idea. Okay. In addition to candy,
I thought you would like that.
Why, Dave, are you doing that?
In addition, though.
No, I'm just...
I would do candy and Purell.
I envision Andrea doing that, though, when the trick-or-treaters come around.
It's a good idea for you, Andrea.
I know. I should do that. Maybe I'll go. What houses, Dave? Maybe I'll go hit those. Hit those houses. Next. All right. We're going to have two moments of silence this morning. Number one, right now, Netflix is canceling House of Cards.
Oh.
Okay. What I'm not clear on, is this because of the whole Kevin Spacey thing?
Yes.
Or were they going to cancel it? Or was this not going to be the final season?
I don't know. I think it was being set up as though it could be the final season. I'm not giving anything away.
Right.
But it was set up. Didn't you think that it could be the final season?
I thought I had heard that they were going to do one more year, but maybe not.
Well, I'm sure Robin Wright and Kevin Spacey wanted to do another year. Maybe not, but they are basically saying that it's allegations done of these unwanted sexual advances by Kevin Spacey have emerged. Now, this incident happened in 1986 against then 14-year-old Anthony Rapp. But Netflix has said that they don't want any ties to any negativity, which is strange because the series, if you've seen it, it's all about murder and lies and intrigue and
deceit. And
deceit, exactly. Mm-hmm. So sixth season will be next year. That will be the last for House of Cards. And finally, this is the other moment of silence. The Apple Store, which is within our view. Beautiful,
I can see it.
Gorgeous new building is going to be dimming its light because, Dave, birds. Yeah, there's too many birds.
Looks kind of dark right now.
It does. They're going to keep the lights down. They've been having a problem. But the top of it is designed to look like a laptop, the silver portion of your Mac.
And there's an Apple logo, isn't there?
There is.
Up on top?
Yeah, too many birds have been dying.
So What was it? What building was it, Steve? Do you remember? It was the State of Illinois building? What building had a big problem with birds?
Was it the Thompson Center?
I believe the Thompson Center, but Thompson's. Also the John Hancock Center had a big, big problem with birds. I mean, hitting high up. That's why they turn. When you drive in, you'll notice that the Hancock is dark because the migratory birds fly along the lake, and they were just flying right into the Hancock Center. That's why they dim the lights, including the top portion of the building.
It's a two-story building. You wouldn't know it's submerged, so we could see the top level, and then you go down. But the top part that we can see right here on Michigan Avenue is all glass, and the birds are having problems seeing it. So they're going to dim the lights, hoping that the birds won't be crashing into the glass or the laptop on the top. Dead birds have been found by the store. Animal rights groups were a little upset. So hopefully this will solve the problem, and everything can be right in the world again. Moment of silence over.
I'd like to see the Apple Store.
We're gonna go check
turn some lights on.
Now humans are gonna walk into it.
Have you guys been in there yet?
I have not.
No. Grzanich, I'm surprised. And Anna, you too. You guys are big techies.
I just haven't had time.
You go this week. We'll do group outing.
Yeah, I'm upset they didn't invite.
We'll go in our costumes.
In our costumes.
How about
there you
that?
Go. Yeah, Steve was upset. That's okay, Steve. You'll get a private tour.
Yeah.
How's that?
Okay.
In your costume. All right, that's the top 6 at 6 brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men. And we'll be back after this on 720 WGN. Six 24 in the morning, 720 WGN. It's the Steve Cochran Show. Hillary Clinton was in town yesterday at the Auditorium Theater, giving what I heard was a really great lecture about her book, What Happened, and Mary Sandberg Boyle, your son was there.
Well, yeah, my stepkids met her, but they actually met her at her book signing in Winnetka, because that's where they live. So
that had to be a thrill. I mean, kids aren't completely partisan yet. That had
right,
to be neat.
Right, and they were very excited. And Catherine was really bummed when Hillary didn't win, because she really wanted to have a woman president.
Yeah.
So they were very excited. They waited in line for a long time, and they got to meet her. And I think they took a picture, though. No one sent me a picture yet. So
that's so cool.
Yeah, it is pretty. It's cool when you have she's done so much, and then
absolutely.
They have her in your little town signing books, you know, so.
Oh, my gosh. Seriously, when my mom was on a trip with her friend, and they went on basically a tour of the presidential libraries.
Okay.
And at the time, I thought, okay, well, but now it's super cool. I mean, it's a past president. It's history. You know, she was Secretary of State, former U.S. Senator, accomplished, you know, probably more than any woman.
Former First Lady.
Yeah.
It sounds like she called a lot of shots as the former First Lady.
Absolutely. So they were excited.
They were very excited. And it was, it's cool because you don't forget, you'll remember when you met, you know, Hillary Clinton. So that they're old enough.
Who was the person that you met when you were the most famous person you met when you were young that you thought was just the coolest thing?
Maria from Sesame Street.
Yeah.
My dad took us to Randhurst Mall to meet her, and because he also thought she was cute, even though, I mean, he loves my mom and stuff, but he thought Maria was cute. And actually, she was not very nice.
Really?
Katie and I were pretty bummed, yeah. We waited a really long, and it was hot in the mall, and then she wasn't that nice. She wasn't very friendly, so it made me not want to watch the TV show after it.
Isn't that great? All right, how about you, Anna? The person you met when you were the youngest, was it Hoover?
No, I never met J. Edgar Hoover.
You just delivered his paper.
I delivered his papers. Boy, I'm trying to think.
When I was little, Jimmy Carter came through Evergreen Park Mall when I was younger. And
he shopping? Or?
No, he was campaigning. Oh, okay. You know, it was the 70s. And I was sitting on my dad's shoulder, and I just remember everyone cheering, "Good luck, Jimmy. Good luck, Jimmy." I'm going, "Good luck, Jimmy." I don't even know who this person is. You know, you're very young.
But did you meet him?
We shook hands.
Oh, okay.
He was going through the crowd shaking hands.
It wasn't absolutely.
Like it was pictures or anything then. But it was kind of. But then I was also excited that the Star Wars characters came a few weeks later to Evergreen Square Mall. So
that sounds about right at your age. So
Darth Vader and Chewbacca.
Were they campaigning also?
They were campaigning,
wow.
Right?
You were talking about what you hand out for Halloween.
Yeah.
At our house, I have candy, you know, Snickers, Butterfingers, Dum-Dum Suckers, because little kids tend to like those. But I also have mini inflatable beach balls for kids that maybe aren't into candy or can't have sugar or
cool.
There's a special needs kid or something that needs something different. So I was blowing. I was going to leave them deflated so they don't take as much room up in your bag.
Yeah.
But then I thought kids won't know what a deflated little ball is. So I was blowing them up last night, which was labor intensive. And some of them, you know, it's hard to get those beach balls. getting the little plastic thing back in the hole. It's hard. Yeah. Like, some, it's difficult. And when they're tiny, because these are little tiny ones, it was more work than I had anticipated. So, but they have like there's baseball ones, ones that look like beach balls, ones that look like basketballs, ones that have little zany faces.
That's a really cool idea.
Yeah. Last year I gave out like stress balls. And
to the kids.
Yeah.
With all their anxiety. Yes.
That's awesome.
Except for because our kids trick or treat in a different neighborhood and we went with them. So I left a bowl of stress balls and a bowl of candy with a please take one of each sign.
Right. They were all gone. Everything was gone.
Yes. And there is not enough kids in our neighborhood. And Pat says there's definitely some older kids just took every stress ball and every
candy. I saw that on Facebook, though. Someone said if the teenagers come to trick or treat, give them candy. You know, and I'm fine with that. Let them trick or treat. Let them enjoy the candy and stuff as well, because it's better that they're trick or treating and asking for candy than, you know.
Yeah, I don't mind if they take.
And then TPing your house.
Yeah. Right. Don't be
one of each. What I mind is that they took
everything.
And we don't get enough. We at the most will get 30 trick or treaters, so they shouldn't have taken everything.
And never leave the bowl out.
That's what I did. I left both out, and I said, "Take one of each with a nice happy sign."
If I leave the house, I always say first kids, then adults, because you know the parents are going and leave the bowl out.
So my question to all of you is: when you were kids and trick or treating, did you ever trick?
No, not really.
We wanted the food.
We were all too scared.
Really?
Scared of what would happen.
We played ding dong ditch once in a while.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
Certain houses. This one lady looked like a witch, so we always went and did her house.
I think boys are more trick oriented.
I think so too.
I feel like a vandal because I did one year.
My stepson is big on taking like pizza boxes and leaving them at people's doors and ringing the doorbell. That's like what 10-year-olds are doing right now.
You know what, though? That's so harmless, don't you think?
And it seems like in high school, we always teepeed somebody's house at Halloween. That was sort of like the annual ritual.
That was you, Grzanich. I knew it. I knew it back then.
Did you use the Charmin Mega Rolls?
No, it was always the cheapest that we could find.
Yeah. Don't say you used the Bounty. Don't say you used any sort of Bounty product.
There's not a statute of limitations.
No. Keep it under wraps. 6:30. Back after this with the big story on WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show presents The Kid of the Week.
God bless the child.
Allstate Kid of the Week time. Allstate believes good starts young. It works towards inspiring the next generation of leaders to reach your full potential, make the world a better place through service, and in the spirit of that, helping recognize the youth this week. We have an agent in studio you're going to meet in just a second. And he and I know each other from the meetings we go to for the Follically Challenged. I don't know if you know that. Nominate a kid for Allstate Kid of the Week. Kid you know could be featured here on the Steve Cochran Show. He won great prizes, Amazon gift card, Lou Malnati's pizza. But that's not the reason that he's here. He's here because he's a great kid. So a little bit for the pizza, but the rest of it is because he's a great kid. And every Tuesday we do this, so let us know who you think ought to be the next Kid of the Week and get those ideas in, and we will take it from there. WGNradio.com/contest to submit an entry. The nominator this week, you recognize the nominator this week?
I do. She's a family member, a good friend of ours.
Yes, Katie Sandberg. Her sister is Mary Sandberg, Boyle, Comcast, NBC, Chicago, Sportsnet.
Something like that.
Aluminum foil.
But we know her best as Biscuit's mom.
Yes.
Yeah.
And good morning to you.
Perfect. Thank you. Good morning.
How are you?
Good, good.
Of the Sandberg girls, who do your parents like best?
I'm the favorite.
You are by a lot, or?
Are you really?
No, actually, I'm totally not. Oh. I should be, though.
Who got more stuff growing up?
Yeah. Mary.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who whined more?
Me.
Oh, definitely?
Yeah. I told them what to do more. That's why I'm not the favorite.
Who got more trouble?
She should have, but she pulled tears.
Ah.
I did nothing wrong, but I lectured them on how they didn't parent her very well, so I wasn't the favorite. I know.
This is all good things for Matthew to follow, is how not to handle your life going forward. How do you know Matthew Bellick, our Kid of the Week?
Matthew has been a patient of mine since he was 11, 12.
And explain what you do.
So I'm a physical therapist, and I have, for the last 15 years, primarily specialized in kid athletes, elite athletes mostly. And I think Matthew, I started seeing me when he was 12. He was an elite level gymnast. And probably to date, I can say is probably my favorite patient and my most impressive.
Come on, really?
True. True story.
What makes you so special, Matthew? Modesty. Let's talk about your gymnast activities. When did you start?
Yeah, so I probably started at when I was six, and I did it for 10 years.
Right.
And I stopped freshman year of high school.
Okay. And best event?
Probably floor or vault.
I think vault for me. Don't you guys think vault's
I think awesome? I thought rings for
yeah.
you.
Yeah, but rings is
parallel
good.
Bars, you were pretty good.
He was nationally ranked. I mean, he's being humble. Yeah.
Were you just a kid that jumped off everything, had no fear, that kind of thing?
Yeah, yeah.
So the parents said, let's get him into gymnastics before he hurt somebody?
Yeah, exactly.
So did you love it?
Yeah, I did like it a lot. Okay. And then, yeah.
And after 10 years, it's time to move on.
Yeah, I want to try something new.
Do you know what that something new is going to be?
Yeah, I started doing track.
Me too.
Yeah.
We're very similar.
Agile.
Yeah, after I stopped, I joined the track team at my high school.
What's your events there?
I do long jump, triple jump, and pole vault.
It's like we're twins.
Oh, yeah.
All the same.
Right? Can't tell
but,
the difference.
But originally at my school, they didn't have pole vault. So
we could have bought you a pole. Is that what the school needed?
A pole store?
No, they didn't have a setup or the space to do it.
Yeah, because you need a pit and you need the right stuff, right?
Yeah, so I started doing it at a different high school outside. And
you were cheating on your school?
No.
A little bit. Just went over to the other school, pretend you went there so you could pole vault. What's your best? What's your best height for pole vaulting?
I can do like 11.6 now.
Okay, good. Wow. Good, good, good.
Yeah.
And what were the other events that you said in track?
Long jump and triple jump.
What's your best then?
Between those two?
Yeah, yeah.
Triple jump, definitely.
I never understood the triple jump. Is it a hop, a skip, and a jump? Is it a hop, a skip, and an Uber?
Jump.
What is it?
Hop, skip, jump.
Yeah. Hop, step, jump, yeah.
Hop, step,
jump. I used to coach that at the elementary school. It's very hard to do. It's, you know, you have to be very coordinated, and especially with boys, it's a little tougher, but good for you.
So you say it's tougher because boys don't pay attention?
Well, no, it's just a little harder for boys to learn the triple jump, you know? Because I don't know, but gymnasts always do very well at it. Always.
How ridiculous would I look if I did a hop, a step, and a jump?
I think we should find out.
I do too. I'd love to see that. We'd love to watch that. Hey, I got a serious question for you though, because you're in great shape, and maybe for Katie too.
You talking to Matthew or me?
Well, I'll ask you later, but I'm going to ask Matthew now, just because he's the kid of the week.
Sure, because he's here.
You know, you're always adult kid of the day.
Yeah.
Okay, so gymnastics and track super demanding on your body. How do you train so you don't get hurt?
Well, I try to stretch like every night and morning.
Okay. And you call Katie Sandberg and have her tell you what to do.
Yeah, she gives me stretches, so.
And the stretching is key?
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, his gymnastic training was like 25 hours plus year-round a week. And so that has set him up very well for track. So, and pole vaulting is a very natural transition for gymnasts, that motion. I don't know if anyone's going to cover that, but he only did it like a couple times a week for 3 months and he qualified to state, like he was very good. But so that has set him up, but he works out every day outside of track.
So it's like weight strength training as well, training, the upper body. Okay.
You think you want to do something in sports with your life? Too early to know?
Well, hopefully play at a D1 college.
Play what?
Like do track.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get it paid for. That'd be all right, huh?
Yeah, that'd be nice.
You are, by my notes, a great student, and you work for something called Chicago Lights. What's Chicago Lights?
So that's pretty much a tutoring program. I've tutored this kid. This is my third year now, and I pretty much volunteer there. Every Thursday I go.
What do you get out of it, tutoring the kids?
I just love tutoring.
And how old are the kids?
I love tutoring him. My kid is in, when I started with him, he was in second grade, and now he's in fourth grade.
A buddy for life, right?
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
And we're going to take a break because I want to meet Chris here as well, but I also want you to explain this trip you took to Israel and how it changed your life, too, and we'll talk more about it. And in the meantime, I'm going to challenge you to a pole vault right out here. We're going to go out. And we're going to pole vault over
the
Apple Store.
Yeah, we'll pole vault over the Apple Store.
Into the river.
Right in the river?
I think you should go from the river back to Pioneer Court.
Right. Good call. Good call. Could we get an EMT to stand by? Just, you know, in case.
For us, not for Matthew.
Right. Allstate Kid of the Week time. Chris Mandolini's here. Last thing he wants to do is talk to me on the radio. That's what I'm going to make him do it. Good morning, Chris. How are you?
Good morning. Doing fine.
20 years with Allstate?
22.
22. Where's the agency?
645 West Grand Avenue.
How'd you get in the business?
I was changing careers, and Allstate opened up a program for independent agents. And with my insurance and law and sales background, it seemed like a perfect fit.
Well, so you were doing what of those before you got into this?
I had a wholesale jewelry business for about 20 years.
Oh, no kidding.
And the economy took down the whole fashion industry.
Sure.
And when that changed, my dad had a stroke, and I decided to close the business. I preferred his health rather than...
Sure. But that's a big leap to start your own business at that point.
It is. It is.
And now, 22 years down the road, good choice, obviously.
Yes, been a very good choice.
What's your favorite part of your day?
Favorite part of my day?
Yeah.
Is being able to spend time with either my kids or spend time doing charitable work.
Well, isn't that nice? And the main charity you focus on through your business?
I work on several. I'm on the board of Salvation Army.
Sure.
Which they run the whole Chicagoland area.
Right.
Variety Children's Charity, which is more in the lines of what Matthew's doing with disabled. They provide adaptive sports equipment to disabled children.
Right.
I'm on the national board for Variety.
Good for you, man.
And I've also been involved in Hispano soccer leagues. I now sponsor a baseball team in Little Village.
That's great.
One of my employees was an ex-pitcher, so he wants to help the kids, and I love doing that because it gives them something to look forward to.
How do you have time for My Collision and Comprehensive when you're helping the rest of the world?
That's what my staff does.
Well, it's good to be you. Yeah, so what's the name of the agency?
Mandolini Insurance Agency.
Phone number?
312-733-1800.
And Matthew Bellick is here. Matthew is this week's All-State Kid of the Week. This is the guy you pay attention to. This is a guy right here. This guy's giving back. He's doing it the right way. All right, tell me about this trip to Israel. You're 16 now?
Yeah, I'm 16 now.
When did you take the trip?
This was probably 4 years ago, years ago.
You were just a kid then.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so you're 12 years old. You go where?
So I go on a trip with my family to Israel.
Uh-huh.
And my mom sets up a tour at this place. It's called the Israeli Center for the Disabled. And so we go to the place, and a guy there, it's pretty much athletes who are disabled, maybe in war or they were born disabled.
Okay.
They're professional athletes.
Yeah, so they have an affinity and a talent for sports, but they've got significant speed bumps they have to get over.
Yeah.
Got it.
So a guy who was in a wheelchair offered me to play ping pong, and so I played with him. I only got a couple points off him.
Kicked your butt.
Yeah, he was amazing.
Right.
He really inspired me, and so I decided to raise money for the organization because I thought I was just so impressed by the determination from all these athletes who like struggled so much throughout their lives.
Yeah, if you want to do something, don't let life get in the way, right?
Yeah.
And so how do you raise the money?
Well, I raised it through my bar mitzvah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And you took all your bar mitzvah money and took it over?
I gave all my bar mitzvah money to the organization.
Well, that's very nice of you. This organization that you referenced has a website, I'm told, that we can all help with. So we like to tell the listeners about stuff like that. So we'll throw that out. You don't know off the top of your head, I assume.
No, I don't know that.
Yeah, we'll get that. We'll kick that out. You seem like you got a big heart, man. It's a good thing to have for the rest of your life.
Thank you.
You know what you want to do in college? You're a junior now, right?
Yeah, I'm a junior.
Well, let's get your act together, Matthew. Come on, man. What are you going to do? We're going to need some answers.
I'm not really sure.
Okay. All right. Well, it was going well until now. Whatever you do, I'm sure you're going to be a smashing success because behind you, you've got an amazing team, including the one and only Katie Sandberg, who will keep an eye on you and make sure you're flying right and all that. And your friend Chris now, Chris Mandolini. You're a good kid. You're kid of the week. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for being here.
And if you want to make a donation, too, we do have the website. It's AFISCD.org.
AFISCD?
SCD, correct, .org. Or you can just Google Israel Sport Center, and it pops up.
Nicely done.
There's a donate button right at the top.
Katie, thanks for recruiting. Yeah, I appreciate that very much. By the way, Katie, what's your business? You want to plug your business? I don't think I've ever given you a free plug on the show.
Oh, Sandberg Physical Therapy.
Okay. What, do you want to throw out a website, a phone number, or social media, anything?
My phone number, 312-972-2777.
Okay. Well, I don't want to make you too rich. And Chris, remind people again, the agency contact is?
312-733-1800.
I'm glad you guys got together on this because, Chris, you're like a slightly more follically challenged version of Matthew.
You're I think guy. So. Yeah.
Chris and I know each other from the meetings.
I know,
mention
I
can
tell, yeah.
But it doesn't bother me. I don't bring it up very much.
Not at all.
Thanks for being here, all of you guys. And thanks again to Allstate and the Kid of the Week, the Allstate Kid of the Week program.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Third and 10, Trubisky to the end zone. Touchdown, Zach Miller. 25-yard touchdown pass from Trubisky to Miller, and Miller is still down in the end zone.
We're not going to show you the replay.
You know, it's a tremendous loss. You know, the Z-man going down. You know, he's big in the momentum, and he always gets us fired up. You know exactly what to say.
It was tough. Zach means a lot to his team, beyond the X's and O's and what he brings to the field, but more what he brings is to a person, specifically to me, how much he's helped me grow over this process.
And now a brand new feature, everything you wanted to know about Zach Miller's busted knee. Dr. David Mokel is one of the best orthopedists in America and takes care of my knees. Well, he takes a look at him and goes, seriously? You call those knees?
You're not his only patient, right?
How does he have time to actually see any other patients?
He tries to limit the amount of whining from me he's willing to listen to. He's at Northwestern Medicine, making people better by making medicine better. Good morning, doctor. How are you?
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Nice to have you on. I appreciate it.
Anytime.
All right. So this hideous injury we saw on Sunday didn't look like much when it happened, but was it a freak accident? Was it the exact point of impact that did it? Is there some other reason his knee exploded the way it did?
First things first, I think, you know, this poor guy sustained a significant injury, and obviously thoughts and prayers go out to he and
no
his
doubt.
Family. I mean, it's the most important thing here. Probably was a fluke. You know, it's just one of those things. He just landed wrong, and I think as far as if you, you know, once you see it in slow motion, obviously, you can see that there's more to it. But it's one of those things that you probably could have caught that pass 100 times, and it would never have happened, and this was just that one that was just a fluke.
I think the thing that really threw people yesterday is hearing about the emergency surgery that had to happen. So this is it called a popliteal artery? Is that even close?
Oh, that's pretty close, actually. Pretty good. Yeah, it's the popliteal artery.
And what is that, and why is it significant, and what happened in Zach's case?
Well, I think the key here is when you hear the word knee dislocation, I've heard it on multiple, you know, channels, sports channels and news channels. Most of the time when you talk about a knee dislocation, what people are actually referring to is a kneecap dislocation, which is the small bone in the front of the knee. The kneecap slides off to the side. That's a very common out of 100 injuries to a knee where there's a dislocation. That's probably 98% of them. This is different. This is basically where the two bones come apart, and that. So a knee dislocation is different than a patellar or a kneecap dislocation. So the knee is like a hinge, basically. It's different than like a shoulder is a ball and socket joint. A hip is like a ball and socket joint. And the knee is like a hinge. And if you think about it, the ligaments are kind of like the pin that holds the hinge together. So in this case, he landed just right to where the pin kind of pulled out, if you will, and then the two pieces of the hinge kind of came apart. The problem is in a knee dislocation, which is what happened here, is when those things come apart, things stretch. And in his case, he hyperextended his knee. And what that does basically is stretch the artery in the back. And it's pretty rare for the artery to tear. It's kind of a rubbery sort of tube. Okay. So it's kind of hard for it to tear. It usually stretches. And I think in this case, it probably clotted off. So the big issue there is that you immediately lose the blood flow to the lower leg. And that's the problem.
So the Bears training staff credit and the doctors on the field, they knew they had a problem right away. Is there something that you would see as from an orthopedic standpoint that would be able to tell you that?
Sure. The most important thing, you know, with these knee dislocations, and keep in mind, knee dislocation is a big deal. So in those, when you get that phone call from the ER, that's a big deal. It gets your eyes wide open. So from what they would see when they would pull him off the field, basically, and get him, you know, into the locker room, or at least into the tunnel, at that point, you're going to check his foot to see if he has a pulse and to check and see if he has motor function, meaning if the foot works.
Would you?
I would bet early on that they figured out he didn't have a pulse.
That's the thing, you know, and that's why he went to medical school and I didn't. Would you even think about that? Hey, check his foot for a pulse. Of course you would.
Well, that's one of those things they do teach in medical school, actually, Steve.
Yeah, that's why you're the doctor. Dave.
So, doctor, at that point, is it merely threatening to his leg? Is it life-threatening? I mean, how bad can this be?
Well, what you know, when they talk about bleed, so in most cases, and once again, this is, I don't know the specifics of here, but in most cases, the artery doesn't tear. If the artery were to tear, it actually would then be bleeding and actively bleeding, and that's a big deal. Yes, that's a life-threatening thing. I would say most of the time, that's not the case here. What happens is the artery clots off, basically, and just stops blood flow to the lower, leg. That's a limb-threatening problem, and the clock's ticking. So once you identify it, you have X number of hours, to get that fixed and reestablish blood flow to the leg, or you could lose it.
In addition to the damage to the artery, now when the hinge comes apart, as you described it, I mean, there's no chance the ligaments remain intact, is there, in that scenario?
Yeah, usually not. Right. So for a knee to dislocate, usually two have to go, and probably three or more. So yeah, it's. I mean, that's coming down the road for Zach here. But as far as no, you're correct. Which is the ligaments have to go. The good news is, at least in watching John Fox's press conference, I'm hearing that he has feeling. The other thing I'm going to be concerned about here is the nerve is right, very close that works the foot. Most of the knee dislocations you've heard about, which would be Jalen Smith, Teddy Bridgewater, Jalen Smith, I know, had a nerve injury that's coming back. So the good news is I haven't heard of them describing any nerve injury here, which would be fortunate.
I'm asking the dumbest question. Is this as painful as it sounds, or does the body just go into shock and try to protect you from that?
Well, I think initially you're in shock, but I would think after a while it's going to set in, absolutely. But these guys are warriors. They're different. They're cut from a different cloth.
So they're tougher than me is what you're saying.
I won't answer that one, but yes, I would say that the answer, he probably is tougher than you, yes.
Unfortunately, this guy has been through so many.
Oh, Zach, listen, I don't know Zach at all, but he continues to be the guy that drags himself out there like an NHL hockey player, mm-hmm. and insists on playing, and he's been nicked and worse for a long time. But this is as bad as it gets. So you want him to be healthy first, and then, if there's a chance to play again, we'll see about that down the road. All right, rapid-fire questions on the knee. Go.
Okay, very – at a much smaller level, Doc, do you need surgery for a meniscus tear? I did this many years ago. Every now and again, my knee bothers me. I just kind of crack it out. Do you have to have surgery for that?
No, absolutely not. And it depends, and it all depends on the type of tear, how old you are, how much it's bothering you. So to answer the short answer, does meniscus tear equal surgery? The answer is no.
Is it okay to crack it out?
Does that mean, crack it out?
You know how when you wake up in the morning and you stretch, and I kind of have to do it's like you kind of pop your knee a little bit?
I don't know what that move is.
I'll show you.
Yes, but is it like cracking your knuckles
you're
talking about?
It's like cracking your knuckles,
okay. Is that a recommended orthopedic move, Doc?
Well, I'll let you answer that one there, Steve. But no, I think it's that. Listen, at the end of the day, Andrew, if it's not bothering you, if that's okay. You pop your knee at the end of the day and your life is fine, it's okay.
Okay.
Yeah,
thank
I mean,
you.
As active as you are?
Thank
yeah,
you.
I wouldn't think so. Okay, cool. John, do you have a question on your knees?
Can you explain the stem cell treatment? This is relatively new, correct?
Sure. Stem cells are kind of the... one of the newer things, the idea is that we could kind of, that stem cells could regrow the cartilage. That's the main issue with what arthritis or osteoarthritis is it basically the cartilage, which is the padding on the end of the bone, wears off. And as of now, there's nothing that kind of regrows the cartilage. That would be the ideal world. So I would say stem cells, the concept is it can regrow it. The Reader's Digest version is it's in evolution. I think there's certainly places you could go now to get it, but it's one of those unproven, still being worked on. I think it's the future, not 100% convinced it's ready for prime time, but I guarantee you there's other people who would disagree.
It apparently is working for some, yes?
Some people, I think it's very, it's kind of all over the board. There's different mixtures and where you get the cells and how you put them in. And, it's one of those things, I think it will be the future, but I still think it's kind of not quite ready for prime time.
I'm going to ask you to come back as we continue down my road. I don't think I've said this on the air, where I'm going to have both of my knees replaced. And I'm going to put something more attractive in. No, I'm going to have them replaced because they don't the osteoarthritis and all that's just not functional anymore.
Are you going to do this on the air?
Well, I don't think Dr. Mokel will do it on the air. Okay. But as we go through that process, Doc, if you're willing to do it, I think it would help people if we talked about it.
Oh, I think it'd be great. I'd look forward to it.
All right. Well, I appreciate the information. And as you said, let's go back to where we started. The best to Zach and his family.
Absolutely.
And you're at Northwestern Medicine, Dr. David Mokel. He's the best. He really is. And your staff's tremendous, too. Thank you, man.
Thank you. Anytime.
You got it. Bye. Sounded like you had to get somewhere.
Just probably surgery, I would assume. Yeah. Are you going to have both knees done at the same time?
You know who had both their knees done at once was Milt Rosenberg.
Oh,
do you guys remember that?
I remember that. Yeah. Good for him.
And I bet Milt was 80 when he had both knees done at the same time.
Wow. About right.
So, tough as nails. You remember him, Nails Rosenberg? Remember Nails we used to call him Nails?
Yeah.
Yep. Thank you, Dr. David Mokel, and maybe give you some insight there into what Zach Miller's going through. But anyway, next year. I anticipate I'll have both knees done next year, so we'll take you through it.
We do it live?
Yes, we'll do it live. Yes, on all platforms, as only we can in show business now.
We'll live tweet it.
I may even open my own Instagram account finally just to show you pictures of my knees. Well, let me start with this. Stephanie Menendez, one of our big shot managers here, has a
costume fetish.
That's the words I'm looking for. A love of dressing up.
Yes.
So if she can find any reason for us to costume it up, she will. I am willing to do this, take one for the team, once a year. Other times, if there's something in it for me. But today, the theme that was chosen was Game of Thrones.
Yes. Yes.
And the Game of Thrones theme, Sandberg, you're thrilled about this, I can tell.
Oh, very much so.
But you're going to like your character.
I like...
She's beautiful in the
dress.
She's
the cutest costume, too. Oh, thank you. I liked in the... When you sent the email out as to who each of us would be, you described that I needed to be her because she has blonde hair.
Beautiful, long, blonde hair. All right, so explain which is the central theme of the show.
Explain the characters. Who am I?
All right, you are...
Because I don't watch the show.
I wrote up a little thing, okay? So our journey begins...
Yes.
...in the Allstate Showcase Studio as Jon Snow, a.k.a. Steve Cochran, the King of the North, or as we call him, the King of Chicago Radio, takes on his latest challenge. Should he bend a knee or not to the rightful heir to the Iron Throne, Daenerys or Khaleesi?
Who's Khaleesi?
The mother of dragons.
I'm Khaleesi.
You're Khaleesi.
I am.
Mary Sandberg Boyle, NBC Sports.
Oh, wait a minute. So Khaleesi and I are...
Wait. It gets better.
Because if I'm bending a knee, I'm going to need someone to help me up.
So wait. Khaleesi's on a quest to retake the Iron Throne with her dragons. Dragonus. John DeCoss.
You're a dragon.
Yeah, kind of.
And Viserion. That would be Steve Grzanich.
So Grzanich is a dragon as well?
He's Viserion, and John is...
Oh, look at him there. He's put his...
See?
Yikes.
Is that a dragon thing, or are you putting a blindfold on? What's going on in the newsroom?
Actually, together we're one dragon. He's got the head. I've got two hands and feet.
There you go.
You can have the face if you want.
There it is. So Khaleesi...
I can't really see what's going on.
Khaleesi, the mother of dragons, on a quest to retake the Iron Throne.
I'm Grzanich's mother?
Yes. And John's mother, too.
You birthed a dragon.
Wait a minute.
You're my stepmom.
I'm starting to get a little nervous here.
Hold on.
Who's Grzanich's father?
There is no father.
Okay.
Just a mother. Mary.
Immaculate conception.
That's right.
With a dragon?
Dragons need that for your birth.
Khaleesi is on a quest to retake the Iron Throne from the evil queen Cersei. That's me.
Are you the evil queen?
I am the evil queen.
I think you look cute. I don't think you look evil.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But I recently blew up the church in King's Landing after the evil sparrow. That's Bennett Wake Knight.
Bennett, come on out, evil sparrow.
He's the evil sparrow. Tried to combine church and state to overtake King's Landing. But tragedy strikes after the death of my son, King Joffrey. Mike Jacobson.
From the ballet?
Wait, Mike's dead?
He's your son?
He was poisoned by his grandmother-in-law on his wedding night.
Wow, that sucks.
Because Joffrey and his mother, along with her brother, Jaime Lannister, the Kingslayer, the debonair, Dave Ennett, tried to retake...
Dave, you look like you're dressed like Dave.
I haven't had time. This thing is going to take me like 20 minutes to figure out this costume.
I host the show. I put my pajamas on.
All you did was pull a thing over your head. I got to figure out my neck. I got to have
it. It all took us 30 seconds or less to put on our costume.
I can't get out of here. There's a taping going on outside our studio.
We all got dressed in the studio.
All right, so explain these relationships.
All right, now here's the problem. Cersei and Jaime, that's me and Dave, my brother, have been embroiled in a tumultuous love affair for years.
Oh, my God, this is like real life.
And, yikes. And King Joffrey is the product of our love.
Wait a minute, you're sleeping with your brother?
Yeah, and Mike's our son.
Oh, that explains all the issues he's got.
Ew. That's true. Big time.
So it's not just allergies.
So the Lannisters... So the Lannisters rule under a blanket of fear, terror, and intimidation. But Khaleesi, now with the help of Steve Snow, the King of the North, are about to overthrow their reign. Only problem is Steve Snow got stabbed by traitors at the wall, and you died, but you had the Red Woman, the Red Witch, bring you back to life.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, she was very handy.
Oh, that's me.
Yes.
Yeah. Thanks, Mary.
I saved you.
Mary, thanks for saving my life.
You're welcome. Steve Snow is alive and falling in love with the Mother of Dragons. Together, they're traveling the Seven Kingdoms to retake the Iron Throne
together.
Wait
a minute. Sandberg and me?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we're going to have to talk about this.
But it was just revealed. You guys are in love.
Yeah.
She, the Mother of Dragons... is your aunt.
What's going on?
Why? Did the people at the Game of Thrones not have horses? They couldn't get to another village?
You've got to back off of my mom.
Here's the crown.
You've got to back off of my mom.
We need more people in this village. I think that's my crown.
It's technically Khaleesi's. You're helping
I'm
her.
Trying to regain it.
Yeah.
Regain it.
She's the rightful heir to the Iron Throne, and you just bent a knee to her.
Okay, so she only gets this if there's something in it for me.
Was that the director's cut?
No. Okay. I'm not talking about that, especially not the last couple of weeks. No, I'm talking about this is some sort of power thing, right? Because you're super powerful, aren't you?
I am very powerful.
All right, so the only way we can take over the land is we have some sort of coalition.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
Right. And
who's our enemies?
It's really just best if everyone listens to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. How's that different than the show?
It's exactly. See, now you see the characters are all falling into place.
If I'm a dragon, why can't I shoot fire?
By the way, if you can't understand Steve, he said,
you can. You guys are all overtaking the Iron Throne, which is rightfully Khaleesi.
I would, but my mom grounded me.
So. Do they have any matches or a lighter?
I don't know what's happening. I don't know. Lost
all right, so
the
that
show.
Is
I will
costume.
Say that there's a gallery up at WGMRadio.com of us in costume, and I'll be adding to it all morning long. So.
As long as Dave gets dressed.
Yes.
I am dressed right now.
Yeah, Kingslayer.
He's the conservative.
What do you want me
Kingslayer?
To do, Mike?
Nice job on your story. I feel like I understand the Game of Thrones now, and I'm really creeped out by it.
Okay, I just want Dave to put on tights.
Creepy.
And thanks to Chicago Costume for these costumes.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo.
Bennett actually looks like a young Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah,
he does. I thought he was a monk.
Okay, wait a minute. He is sitting at the table, the counter. He's on his knees, and he's as tall as the rest of us.
We have a problem, Khaleesi.
Are you sure this isn't my crown?
It does.
I mean, come on. Doesn't it sort
of
look like Mike?
It looks like you.
It's perfect for you.
It's a good look, right? It's a good look. Yeah, it's a good look.
I don't know about that.
So, I mean, I'm just saying. 7:31. For those of you who are Game of Thrones fans, we're sorry. But these pictures will be up. Or are they up already?
They're up already, and I'll be adding all morning. So.
Okay. Where do people
keep checking. WGMRadio.com and our socials. Cochran Show Facebook page, WGM Radio Facebook page.
And Steve
Instagram. You can see Andre and I fighting over my crown.
Okay. Well, here you go. Hold on to the crown if you would. And
give this to Mary. It's
and we'll
crown.
Be back in a moment on 720 WGN.
Happy Halloween.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
It's 7:45, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. We continue on Halloween. Did you guys hear when the media kids came to visit President Trump?
Oh, I saw this, yeah.
The children of the media contingent, those that cover the president.
Yeah, the press corps.
The little kids
mm-hmm.
Came into the Oval Office, and there was President Trump handing out the candy. I bet it went great. Listen.
I cannot believe the media produced such beautiful children. How the media did this, I don't know. Come on over here. You have wonderful parents, right? You all having a good time? What is this? Oh. Well, I don't think they want any gifts or candy, right? Who likes this? Well, you have no weight problems. That's the good news, right? Good. So you take out whatever you need, okay? If you want some for your friends, take them. We have plenty. So how does the press treat you? I'll bet you get treated better by the press than anybody in the world, right? Huh? I think so. I see.
That's beautiful. They can, hey, they can stay. They can stay. The parents, maybe not so much.
That's actually funny. Last part is funny. Yeah. But since he's always talking about fake news, are those fake children?
Yes.
Those children may not be real. I'm just saying.
The Wade comment, by the way, was directed to a little girl.
Oh, that's sweet. Oh. That's sweet. Trauma. Nice to add that. Hey, John DeCosier. John, we need to thank the people at Zanies and the people that came out to Zanies mostly for a fun weekend.
Yeah, they were absolutely wonderful. Both shows we did on Friday and Saturday, Mike Toomey and Tim Cavanaugh. But the audience was great, and they were so nice. They were so nice.
Pheasant Run Friday night and Zanies Rosemont on Saturday. So good times had by all. At least it sounded like it. They seemed like they all had a good time.
You know,
there's one guy named Lou.
Oh, yeah.
No, everybody had a good time. We're doing New Year's Eve.
Yeah, that's the next show. It's our annual New Year's Eve this year.
It's an extravaganza.
Yeah. Oh, it's huge. I can't wait. It's the Tivoli Theater. It's our second year there. We are only doing one show this year.
Right.
And that way we can both stay out of the hospital.
That'd be a good thing. What time is the show?
7 o'clock.
Oh, good.
On New Year's Eve, that's Sunday night.
It's the annual New Year's Eve for people that can't stay awake until midnight.
Yeah, and this one's going to be a lot of fun because we've got special guests and all different types of things. It's going to be a different show than we've done in a long time.
Yeah, it's going to be a festival. How do I get tickets?
You just, these all are online. You just go to Eventbrite right there and look up Steve Cochran Show. New Year's Eve, Cochran's New Year's Eve.
You can order them right now.
You can get them right now. We've already started selling tickets. It's amazing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's very easy and very nice. Brought to you by Iceman Productions.
Well done by you, eventbrite.com.
Yes.
Okay. Good for you. You know, I don't, I'm not home a lot. You know, I'm very busy, you know, and a lot of times it's just
a wizard.
A lot of times busy avoiding the paparazzi. You know, even though I am home for a while tonight, I feel like I always miss out on the trick or treaters. So this is an annual tradition that goes back to really when I started. Mm-hmm. We're going to do it again today for a limited bit. We've got some prizes to give away, and we will trick or treat by phone.
Cool.
312-981-7200 is the number. You have to call, say trick or treat, describe your costume, and then I'll give you something that we'll send to you.
Okay, perfect.
Okay, all right.
Nice.
So this is the only house you have to visit by phone.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, 312-981-7200. Remember we used to trick-or-treat by fax? It took forever.
And then you would just get a picture of the candy bar.
Yeah, not good.
It seems like the hours are getting earlier and earlier. I remember we would go out trick-or-treating after school, come home, dump your candy off, and then go out until, you know, the streetlights came on.
Yeah. Yeah,
like
what is it? What is it now? 3 to something?
It's, like three to seven in my town.
3 to 7,
depending on each town. Yeah.
Well, what happens if you go out at 7:15? Do you get busted?
I'm not answering the door.
I don't think you get busted. I think that's just kind of encouraged to have everyone home now.
Every neighborhood has their rules.
Yeah, every suburb has a different rule.
You know what they do in Ohio, which is kind of cool. They do it this Sunday before Halloween, and they do it from 2 to 6. I know that's crazy, but then it's everybody's off. All the kids are out. I have to go. That's pretty good.
That is pretty good.
I'm not a fan.
Okay.
Yeah, what do they do on Halloween then?
Trick-or-treat by phone.
They celebrate Easter.
Yeah, we're going to trick-or-treat by phone. We're going to trick-or-treat by social media.
Yeah. Tweet us. Trick-or-tweet.
I was working in the lab late one night when my eyes beheld an eerie sight.
I'm going to grab a couple of calls here, then I'm going to go around the room. Candy you hate most for Halloween?
To my surprise,
I mean, you know, it's easy to name the one you like. Like if, you know, if I were the president of the United States, all candy would have to be Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
Yes, yes.
By law.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's go to the phone here and start with Barbara in Gurnee. Good morning, Barbara.
Trick-or-treat.
All right, Barbara, what are you wearing?
I'm wearing a sexy black witch outfit.
Oh, listen, probably already dressed for the party. All right, for that, I'm going to give you an apt gift card. Pleasing people since 1936. Don't tell the other kids or they'll all come to my house. Visit their online store at abtapp.com. Good luck, witchy.
Awesome, thank you.
All right, hold on. Let's go to Christy in Sycamore. Christy!
Hey, trick or treat.
All right, Christy, what are you wearing?
I'm a spider web.
Oh, you're a spider web. You walk through it in the garage, or you actually have the costume?
Well, my son wanted to be a spider, so I chose to be a spider web.
Aren't you a good mom?
It's just pretty much a blanket. It's fleece with some yarn attached.
Nicely done. How many kids?
Two.
How old are they?
5 and 4.
Ah, the best. The best.
Yeah.
I was hanging out with the world famous Abigail Grace yesterday.
Aww.
And, you know, there's a while where she actually let me play with her toys, you know. But she's at a great age. You know, she's almost 2, and she's at a, and I'm sure you remember this, Christy, but she has no volume control. And we're watching a little bit of Elmo.
Yeah.
And just there's random points where I might even be dozing off. It is the afternoon. And she'll suddenly go, "Pops, Elmo!"
Oh,
like it's the greatest discovery ever. It just makes you giggle. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's the best. All right, for you, I've got Lou Malnati's Pizza for you and your kiddos. Home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. Find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations or order online at loumalnati's.com. Thanks, Christy. Hold on. And let me go to, it looks like Edie. Is this Edie?
Hello.
Edie.
Trick or treat.
Edie's coming by the house.
Yeah.
Yeah, trick or treat. Edie, what are you wearing?
Well, I'm Winifred Sanderson from Hocus Pocus, one of the sisters, the oldest sister.
Cool.
I got the red wig, and I don't have a cape, but the costume has, you know, the flowing sleeves and everything, so it's pretty cool.
Boy, you should see my costume. I'm King of the North, or in my my look, more like King of the North stepdad. all right, Edie, for being on, I'm going to give you an app gift card. You get an app gift card as well. Pleasing people since 1936abt.com. Have fun. Hold on. It's just that easy, kids. All right, around the horn. Where's candy for Halloween? Vanderbilt.
Even though it's named after me and my sister, the Mary Janes are the worst.
I forgot. What are those?
It's like little peanut little butter. They're hard like as a rock, and they break your teeth.
Yeah.
Awful.
Grzanich, where's candy?
Oh, easy. No, hands down, a bit of honey.
God, bit of honey.
Remember those?
Yeah,
I like those.
Good. Andre?
Either Mounds or Almond Joy. Not a fan of the coconut.
Oh, you like the coconut?
Nasty.
Not a fan. No.
Huh. Dave?
Wax lips. Do they even have those anymore?
There were some in the newsroom the other day.
I don't know if they do, Dave, but it would go nicely with your outfit today. I can tell you that, the old wax lips.
Yes, yes,
John?
Brother.
Popcorn balls. Again, get to a clinic. Get to a clinic as fast as you can. Yeah,
they were always stale.
Yes, yes. Jake?
Candy corn.
I agree with you.
Oh,
yeah,
candy corn.
Yeah, that was going to be my answer, but I agree with you.
And Mary is on the phone right now, but for some reason, because apparently she also needs to visit a doctor or some sort of mental health person, she doesn't like peanut M&Ms.
What?
What?
Oh,
what?
This
just furthers the mystery, doesn't it?
Yeah. I just got the popcorn balls. That's hilarious.
thanks for playing our game. Steve will do the news next. Do you think you owe more than your home is worth? It's always disconcerting right before a newscast when Steve gets ditzy. Thank goodness he knows the news.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah.
All right, it's 8:14. We have one costume problem here on Halloween. I mentioned that I sort of look like an elderly Russian woman standing in line for bread. But Dave, I didn't know Liberace was in Game of Thrones. What exactly are you wearing?
He's Jaime Lannister.
Me?
Yes.
What am I?
You're the Kingslayer.
I'm the Kingslayer, Steve.
Yes.
No, you're Liberace. Is there a baby grand piano in Game of Thrones?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
A harp.
Dean Richards has been hanging out with Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Well, not yet.
Well, I saw you on TV with him.
Oh, that was last year. But he's going to be in town tomorrow.
So. Oh, I thought that was live.
So I'll be, I don't know how closely I'll be hanging out with him, but.
All right, good tease.
One of the stories we're reporting on today, Steve. We have many Hamilton stories today.
Yes.
Because I'm not going to miss my shot.
Are you guys dressed up?
I am. The rest are not. I'm trying to keep in the Hamilton theme. I'm sexy Thomas Jefferson.
Well, as usual. I don't quite understand what happens at Channel 9. You guys do that costume store thing, and you get like 15 days of tape out of it. But on actual Halloween, nobody's dressed up.
Well, we have people here who are dressed up.
But I'm looking at Larry and Robin and
no, none of us are actually
and Marcus, not even in costume.
None of us are in costumes today, Steve, because we're journalists.
That's funny.
Shoot, we should have thought of that.
That's funny.
Steve, we're serious journalists.
Yeah, that's funny.
Good one, Dean.
But we have about 70 people here who are in costumes. What do you want?
Okay,
well, you clearly want Larry, Robin, and Paul.
Yeah, well, I'm...
They go to Fantasy Costumes every year, and they do their little costume thing there. But what if there was a big news story that breaks out? We can't be Kim Kardashian reporting the news.
I'm wearing the King of the North bathrobe. And
that's your cloak.
Yeah, would you mind closing it, by the way?
It looks good.
Everybody's amused at the fact that the hoodie on the bathrobe doesn't fit my head.
But no one's surprised.
Nobody's surprised.
There you go. Now you just need your sword. There, see? Oh, you are Jon Snow. Look at that. Right? King of the North?
Did you get bread?
Like, I feel like...
Did you get bread?
I feel like it's the wrong show. I feel like I should be going, precious, precious.
Gollum.
Okay, here's what's coming up. You're going to talk a little bit more about Hamilton. Jimmy Kimmel's in the news. Celebrity Halloween costume choices. More fallout from Kevin Spacey, which could mean the end of the show that we all watched until Trump came along. And more Harvey Weinstein news. So lots of laughs coming up.
But listen anyway.
Just a second. You'll be calling his name. I thought there was more to say. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor, Channel 972. Oh, 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 oh. Top man. All right, back to Dean Richards live at Channel 9. East Coast to the West Coast. Say again.
You made me feel bad about not being dressed up, so during the break I was trying on some wigs and funny glasses to see, you know, if I could put something together. But I think I actually look better with the wigs and funny glasses.
I think it's a hot look, I'm going to be honest with you. And I mentioned, do you watch Game of Thrones?
I do not.
I don't either, but I'm King of the North, yes?
Yes, you're King of the North, Jon Snow.
And I'm pretty sure, based on the costume I'm wearing, I'm King of the North's soon-to-be-dead dad.
No.
I don't know. It's not working out for me, Dean. You know what I'm saying?
I'm sure it's very attractive. I have not gone on WGNradio.com to take a look yet, but I'm going to do that as we speak.
I said I look more like an elderly Russian woman waiting for bread. Or possibly Mrs. Doubtfire on a bad hair day.
That's very entertaining, though.
So go out and have a look at that.
I was just looking at myself here, and apparently I'm going as Tom Skilling again this year.
Oh, congratulations. Yeah. Oh, by the way, the stand-up comedy shows this weekend at Zanies, which went very well. There's a point on stage where I said, I'm told I look like a celebrity. Anybody have any idea? Guess what the first thing people yell out was?
Skilling?
Dean Richards.
Yeah. Oh. I guess it's Billy Joel.
I got Dean before I got Skilling or Billy Joel.
Not sure that's a compliment for either of us.
All right, the Kevin Spacey story. Backtrack and tell us how this started yesterday.
This started because allegations were made by actor Anthony Rapp, who is probably best known for being one of the original stars in the musical Rent on Broadway, but he's done tons of movies, tons of television shows. He's currently in the latest incarnation of Star Trek. I'm just, your image just popped up on the screen.
I don't look like an intimidating king from medieval times.
If you were milking a goat right now, you'd look like my grandma.
She said, Dini Moo. Don't be going back there.
That's hilarious during a very serious story.
Trump is claiming I'm a liar, by the way. Oh, wait, no, that's not your grandmother is not involved.
So Anthony Rapp makes these allegations that when he was 14 years old, he was on Broadway also, went to a showbiz party that Kevin Spacey was holding at his home, and he claims that advances were made on him by Kevin Spacey. Spacey yesterday, in a completely botched attempt to try to neutralize this story, tried to blame it on being drunk, throws in the complete non-issue of that he is now living as a gay, that he has chosen to live as a gay man, which has nothing to do with anything. So really, everyone is even more mad at him after his attempt to try to...
Yeah, he somehow managed to piss off everybody in one statement.
It wasn't a good day for him in a number of ways, because later in the day, Netflix announced that they are canceling House of Cards, the award-winning series on which Kevin Spacey has starred for 6 years. So when this season is over, that's going to be it for House of Cards. The people who give out the Emmy Awards were supposed to give like sort of a Lifetime Achievement Award to Kevin Spacey in November. They've rescinded that, and they say that they now will not be giving that award to Kevin Spacey.
Item number two, in I suppose a semi-related way, the Harvey Weinstein news just keeps getting worse.
Yeah, the Producers Guild of America, an organization that ironically honored Harvey Weinstein a few years ago, imposed a lifetime ban on him yesterday. Not 100% sure what that means. I mean, this is an organization that, if you're a producer, sometimes you'll see in the credits of movies PGA, that's Producers Guild of America.
It affects your pay scale, doesn't it? Your take on the film?
I think it does. I mean, he and his brother pretty much, owned the companies where they produced films. So, but anyway, he got a lifetime ban from that yesterday. But more interestingly, a story popped this morning that Scotland Yard is now investigating Harvey Weinstein. A total of 7 women have come forward in the U.K., alleging sexual assault against the former mogul.
So he's an international creep.
So he is now also being investigated by Sherlock Holmes, as far as I can tell.
That's nice. That's really special. Also in the news, Lin-Manuel Miranda, as we mentioned, he's coming to town for what?
He's going to be in town tomorrow at the Puerto Rican Museum of History and Art, which is in Humboldt Park. He's coming here to raise awareness for Puerto Rican hurricane relief, to try to raise some awareness, to try to raise some money for that.
And there's a benefit tomorrow night?
Well, it's actually an event that's going to take place during the day.
Oh, okay.
It's not really a benefit to raise money in that sense. The idea is just to raise awareness of the continued need for all of this. Lin-Manuel Miranda put out a charity single that's on iTunes right now, and all the proceeds from that, it's just loaded with stars, kind of a We Are the World kind of song that benefits Puerto Rican relief. And a big congratulations to the Chicago cast of Hamilton. I had mentioned to you yesterday that I was hosting this benefit that was being put on at the Greenhouse Theater on the North Side last night. And it was an incredible night. It was so fun. You know, the Greenhouse Theater, it's the old Victory Garden space on Lincoln Avenue. So it's a fairly small theater, probably seats about 100 people, completely sold out. And many of the stars, but some of the main principals in Hamilton, gave up their days off to perform there last night, doing a song or two or three. And it was like being in someone's living room, being entertained by some of the most talented people that you've ever seen. It was just a great night. We've got some video up at WGNTV.com, but they raised a ton of money for hurricane relief. Jose Ramos, who plays Philip Hamilton, the son of Alexander Hamilton, and the show is from Chicago. He's of Puerto Rican descent, and he spearheaded this whole thing, got all of his castmates from Hamilton to participate, but it was a really, really fun night. So,
and still, 29% of the island is all that has power.
Isn't that
and
shocking?
It's really ridiculous.
Shocking after all of this time.
Well, and also the power company that was hired by someone in the Trump administration. Not that Trump knew about this, but it appeared the entire thing appears to be a scam—a $300 million scam that's now being broken up, and criminal charges are pending, and all sorts of nightmarish occurrences in the middle of these people going through the hell they're going through.
Yeah, that's crazy. Literally, while we were talking here, I just got an email that said last night at this benefit they took in $15,000.
That's great.
And they have a GoFundMe page also that's now up to $7,200.
That's excellent.
You can go to GoFundMe.com/RiseUpShy, C-H-I 2017.
Hey, Khaleesi, we should get Annabella Val on again soon to do update our parents and her brother are doing.
Yeah. She's dressed up today. She's doing an around town at a haunted house, which is her least favorite thing in the world to do. She hates haunted houses.
I'm not a fan either.
But we force her to go every year because it's funny to watch her hate it so much. She's dressed
up. I don't
up
like
as
when
a,
Ellen does it. You know, when Ellen freaks out guests.
Oh, when they have people hiding in the tables.
Boxes and things.
There's nothing worse than, like, you're sitting there, you're trying to do an interview, and someone just tries to scare
you.
It's
all funny
until
somebody has a grabber and dies on live TV.
I don't like that, but I like when Jimmy Kimmel makes the kids cry over the candy being eaten. I love it so much. I this is awful, but I thought there should be a version of that where you tell your kid you're getting a puppy, and then it turns out the puppies all got illnesses, and then you're not getting that puppy anymore.
You know what's weird is I've met your parents. Your parents
That's
like,
one of the worst, meanest things
wow. Your
I've
parents
ever
seem like lovely people. What happened to you?
And your sister's so nice.
I know. I just think it'd be funny. Or not.
Well, you're wrong.
But Annabelle Laval did a Facebook Live yesterday, and one of her nieces is coming to live with her because school in San Juan is still part-time and no power, so she's coming to live here, and she's never lived in winter, so it'll be interesting.
Welcome.
And she was also buying battery lanterns for her parents.
Maybe you could do something fun, pick her up at the airport and take her to Milwaukee.
I know, it sounds mean, but I just...
No, it doesn't sound mean. It is mean.
Yeah, pick her up at the airport and tell her she has no relatives here. That's hilarious.
Oh, you were hoping to live here? There is no house for
and
you.
Give me your two or three favorite celeb Halloween costumes.
We had Kim Kardashian, our favorite, going as Cher.
Okay.
She and some guy went as Sonny and Cher, 70s circa. Cindy Crawford, John Travolta, 70s-like. Amal Clooney, super hot 70s, like, disco queen.
Wow.
This woman just gave birth to twins 4 months ago.
Yeah, she looks fabulous.
She looks amazing. So those were some of
them. And George is no slouch either.
Clooney?
George Clooney, yeah, he's no slouch either.
Clooney.
You're thinking of Khaleesi, our theme.
Clooney is Khaleesi's brother, who they don't talk about.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to be entertained like you have never been entertained before, you will thank me 1,000 times if you go to WGNradio.com right now and take a look at my grandmother Aphrodite, who is apparently filling in for Steve today.
That's the goddess of beauty, though.
It's a beautiful picture.
It's like the King of the North on Game of Thrones was killed and they had no one else.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
A draw won by the Avs, and Nieto fires it down ice. There's the horn ending the hockey game. Colorado wins it tonight 6-3, and the Hawks' losing streak is now at 3 games.
As bad as that first period was, it wasn't like it was horrendous. The chances were 4-3. And, second period, we're in the boat chance of winning the game. So I'd say that can make you feel good, but it's you're down 5-0. It's a different road to hoe.
Who are these guys? They don't look like the Blackhawks of the first 2 weeks of the season. Got to get this figured out. Let's go to our friend Troy Murray. He sees every second of it, calls every second of it, along with the great John Weideman here on 720 WGN. And Chris Bowden, I think, has done a great job as well as a new addition to the team. I'm sure you agree, Troy Murray.
Good morning, guys.
Hi, buddy.
Morning.
How are you?
So you don't like Bowden? Is that the point?
I never said that. No. Chris is doing a great job.
Chris is doing a great job. He really is.
He knows the game. He knows what he's doing. He's a pro.
Yeah, he's a good guy. All right, so here's my question first off, which is not as important as the rest of it, but I'm curious. As a little boy growing up in Canada, was Halloween a big deal to you?
It was. It was. I mean, actually, it's funny because my parents were married on Halloween. So I never forgot their anniversary.
Sure.
I can't remember mine, but I can always remember theirs.
You have a favorite costume when you were a kid?
Well, half the time, this is just kind of the way it was, you know, knee-deep snow when we went trick-or-treating.
Sure.
So we really half the time didn't have a costume because it was so cold that we just threw on our winter stuff and grabbed a pillowcase and went out trick-or-treating.
Right. That's the way it used to be, kids.
I had to walk through miles of snow.
Uphill.
Yeah, but
all the way.
But Troy, with all the snow, how could you text while you were trick-or-treating?
Yeah, exactly.
Listen, I didn't know what a fidget spinner was or a pop socket, so I don't...
I heard that, yeah.
And what was your favorite candy to get on Halloween?
Oh, those... Well, I think in the States they're called the Smarties, the little Smarties.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, what are they in Canada?
I think they're Twizzlers or something like that. Or
Twizzlers is a licorice.
I know, but there's a different name up in Canada for whatever. But, okay. I love those. I still do.
Still a Smarties guy.
I still buy those to give out.
Yeah, giving out the Smarties, and then you eat half the bowl. So you'll know what you're getting if you go by Troy's house. All right, so what do you make of what we're seeing here? I mean, look, the good news is it's early, and the good news is there's nothing but talent on this team, but nobody likes this three-game losing streak.
No, it's been kind of tough to figure out, and I think a little bit perplexing for the coaching staff, obviously, with the talent that they have. And they do have some major talent on that roster. Things like the power play, there's no rhyme or reason to why the power play can't be executed at a much higher level and be a big part of, you know, a hockey game where I think that if the Blackhawks special teams, especially the power play, at certain times of hockey games when they've had opportunities to make the difference, they haven't been able to do it. And that takes energy away from the 5-on-5 play and, you know, kind of a buzzkill that I've always kind of talked about. But, for Joel Quenneville, he's looking for some line combinations after the first two games, scored 15 goals. Everybody's all excited. Wow, this team is great and it's going to blow everybody away. You know, they lost 5 of the last 6 games and they're trying to figure it out. Yesterday was a good day for the Blackhawks to get into some battle drills and get that competitiveness up to a level. I think that that's one thing that to me has been a little bit noticeable, that they have not been the hardest working team out on the ice. And I think you have to get back to that mentality first. Because if skill doesn't outcompete the other team or work as hard as the other team, then skill doesn't matter. And I think that's kind of right on the edge of where this team needs to be a little bit more competitive through 60 minutes.
So do you sense an intensity gap that wasn't there before in some way?
Well, I mean, if you look at Colorado, if you looked at Las Vegas, you looked at Nashville. These last games, they were outworked by those teams, and I think that that's something that, right from the opening faceoff to the end of the game, you know, there's been spurts, and at the tail end of the games, the Blackhawks have had good pushes, but too little, too late, and they've been chasing the score. So they got to get off to better starts, and then have that momentum kind of carry through the game. They haven't been the hardest working team on the ice for 60 minutes, and that needs to be the story and the case every game. The NHL, is just too good right now. The bottom teams are just too good. The parity is so close in the NHL that there is no easy games. You have to have that mentality that, the bottom line, the base of what you're going to bring every night is work as hard as the opposition team, if not harder.
The summation for any team success is goaltending, and you got to have great stuff going on in net. Crawford got off to a phenomenal start. We're seeing big scores now. Do we have a backup goalie problem?
Well, I think Forsberg started 3 games, and you kind of heard Joel Quenneville allude to it a little bit, that when you look at the quality chances, when you really broke it down, pretty even in that Colorado game. Forsberg in the first 2 games, I think, had 39 and 40 saves, right, and got points out of both of those games, but lost both of those games. He didn't get, in my opinion, much help in that game against Colorado. You know, plays that are wide open, missed assignments, giveaways, have kind of come back to haunt the Blackhawks in a way, so they can tighten up their structure in front of the goaltending. But Crawford, as you said, has been phenomenal this season. No problem, no worries about that. Forsberg is still a guy that maybe go through some ups and downs because of the lack of experience, but the guys have to play better in front of him when he's in net and give him that opportunity to feel comfortable.
Dave?
Troy, with the power play troubles, I thought Brandon Saad had an interesting comment yesterday where he said, there are too many creative guys out there. I don't know if he said too many. Those might be my words, not his. But there are a lot of creative guys out there. And I just wonder if sometimes it almost becomes a cerebral thing where guys maybe do overthink it a little too much, especially when you look there and you see all this talent that the Blackhawks have out on the ice.
Yeah, Dave, I agree with that. And Joel Quenneville actually kind of touched on it, too. With all the skill and talent that the Blackhawks have on the power play, they're still kind of set in their ways. And I always talk about it on the air, hey, simplify it. Find the open shooting lane, get pucks to the net, retrieve pucks, do it again. if you looked at, and I still remember talking to Nicholas Lidstrom of the Red Wings, and in those days, the Red Wings had the best power play in the NHL. They had Zetterberg, they had Datsyuk, they had Lidstrom, they had a guy that was in front of the net, Johan Franzen, or Thomas Holmstrom. You know, it was actually a pretty basic power play. They got it back to the point, or they got it to the side, they moved it around quickly, and as soon as they had a shooting lane, they got the puck to the net. I think the Blackhawks are trying to pass it one or two times too many, and a lot of times it gets bogged down a little bit on the half boards, and it allows the penalty killing structure to get back into where it needs to be. You have to have good puck movement, move it quick, get it back to the point, get it to the sides, whatever it is, get shots, retrieve it, and get it back again. And that, you know, that's the mentality that you have to simplify things, even though you do have that much talent on the ice.
The Hawks and Troy Murray and, of course, John Weideman and Chris Bowden, every minute of every bit of the Hawks season is here. Dave, what time's pregame tomorrow night?
Tomorrow night's a 7 o'clock game tomorrow night, so a 6:30 pregame tomorrow from the United Center for the Blackhawks and the Philadelphia Flyers, who lost to Arizona last night. First win for the Coyotes, an overtime win over the Flyers.
And Troy, the Blues have gotten off to just a whiteout start, and they're already 9 points up. And as Dave Ennett made the point this morning, you just can't let that gap get any bigger.
Well, that's the danger. If you look at, you know, in the Western Conference, some surprises that have really kind of taken place here. The LA Kings, who didn't make the playoffs last year, have only lost one game. But the Vegas Golden Knights, a team that you thought would really struggle, is in, you know, second spot. And they've only lost one game, I think, and maybe two games in regulation now. You know, you've already put yourself in a bad position behind those teams. And there's eight teams that make it, obviously, in the Western Conference, three guaranteed from the Central, three guaranteed from the Pacific. Boy, if you look at what's going on, and I didn't look at the standings this morning, but I think the Blackhawks could be down in fifth spot now in the Central Division. I think some teams have had some games in hand that they'll play this week, too. So come next Saturday, when the Blackhawks only have played one game in a week, you know, they could find themselves in a real bad position. You don't want to chase this league. It's too good. It's too hard to make up points. And if you look at the end of the season, say it's 95, 96 points in the mid-90s where the last cutoff team is going to be in the NHL, you got to be 13 games, 14 games over the 500 mark. You know, you don't want to be wallowing around 500 where the Blackhawks are right now and losing five of the last six games. You have to be able to keep pace with the pack right now as you figure things out there. And, you know, the danger is if you lose this game, now you go into a tough game against Minnesota in Minnesota. You know that the Central Division is really good this year. Colorado's going to surprise teams. They couldn't be as bad as they were last year. This just couldn't happen. So, I mean, you know, you look at this and say, yeah, it is early. But at the same time, look at the big pictures, do the math in your head, and understand where you need to be in the spot that not only to make the playoffs, but, you know, at that cutoff bubble spot.
That's what I was going to say, Troy, that if you look at the Central Division now, and again, it's early, you have the teams that are ahead of the Blackhawks, aside from St. Louis, Dallas, Winnipeg, Colorado, then it's Nashville, the Blackhawks, and Minnesota. I mean, it's kind of like, aside from St. Louis, it's kind of flipped.
Well, it has, but you know Winnipeg was going to be better. Their issue has been goaltending, and I think that they've kind of solidified that in some ways. Nashville had a great season last year, almost won the Stanley Cup. They're not going away. St. Louis is a good hockey team. Minnesota's been devastated by major injuries, mm-hmm. and they're still hanging around the 500 level. You know, Colorado's got more points than the Blackhawks do, or tied with them in points, but less games, I think it was. But so if you look at that, I mean, you can't fall behind because you're going to be chasing too many teams. So, you know, it's early. You've only played 12 games, I think it is, for the Blackhawks now at this point. But you better have some sense of urgency coming into these next games because it doesn't get any easier. And all of a sudden, you're going to find yourself in a position where you have to win hockey games and you're still trying to figure out what you've got as far as your roster, who's playing on different lines, who's the defensive pairings. So, you know, I think that Joel Quenneville in his practice yesterday was sending that message that, listen, we're going to have these battle drills. We're going to have a tough practice, but this is how we need to approach the games right now. You know, this is a good Chicago Blackhawks team. I still have a lot of confidence in them, but they have to bring their intensity. They have to bring their compete level up to where the opposition is.
It's Troy Murray, John Weideman tomorrow night, and I'm predicting a breakout game tomorrow night, Troy, and I look forward to hearing the call. Thank you, buddy.
Dave, Steve, thanks for having me on. Always appreciate it. Happy Halloween.
And to you, bud.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
912, I just looked through the pictures at WGNradio.com, the gallery that Sandberg put up, and, well, you guys look great.
Oh, thank you, Steve. Yeah. Oh, you look good, too. No, you do. He thinks he looks like a Russian
woman
waiting
in line for bread. I needed some soup and bread.
I look like somebody from a Mel Brooks period piece movie that didn't get cast.
No, you're too hard on yourself.
It's like if Mel Brooks were doing Dinner Theater, I would have been in that. It's 9:13. You can go to WGNradio.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Cochran Show. You can follow me at Steve Cochran Show on Facebook. You can go to the station's Twitter or Facebook, and you can see the gallery of photos there. What are you laughing at? Liberace?
There's a picture of me in my whatever that is.
Yeah, your Liberace costume.
It's your armor.
I just look really grim, and John's sitting behind me, and he doesn't look any happier than I do.
Yeah, and I'm not even in costume at that point.
Right.
I got to say, have you gone to a podiatrist? Because I saw a picture of you with giant green feet.
I know.
Can I ask why you don't like dressing up? Well, I mean, it's fun.
Who said I didn't like dressing up?
Because it took you like half the show to put your costume on?
Listen, I still took the biggest leap of anyone on this show in terms of dressing up. Not today.
What are you
but a few Halloween.
Oh, you're talking about Little Red Riding Hood?
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, have you seen our program director?
Listen, you can't live on the fumes of Little Red Riding Hood forever.
Yeah.
I guess not.
It's still haunting him.
Yeah, it's haunting me. We're going to trick or treat by phone coming up, but John, please introduce our guest.
This is actually very good. This is, please welcome Tracy Hoover, who is here.
And Tracy, Tracy, it's nice to see you as always, and I'm sorry I have to bring this up, but Tracy... Tracy is married to the very talented, very weird Jeff Hoover.
Yes.
From
Oh, wait a minute. That's your husband?
That would be my husband. We were at an event last night, and I got many people saying they pray for me. Many.
That's hilarious.
He's on TV all the time now. He used to be a background guy, a producer. Now he's on TV more than Larry. Does he run bits by you at home?
No, he's very secretive, actually. He wants to surprise me. And every once in a while, I will give him a little bit of advice, and sometimes I do see it pop up on air.
Oh, good. Nice. Oh, that's good. That's good. That's good. Tell people what you're doing here.
So we are actually promoting our third annual Laughs to Remember, which is a benefit for the Alzheimer's Association Illinois chapter. And that's coming up this Saturday, November 4th. And it will be from 6 to 11 at Concord Place. And we are fortunate enough to have two of WGN's very own joining us and providing the comedic talent. So
just found this out.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Who will be doing the show?
We will have John DeCoss and Patty Vasquez joining
us. Oh, that's excellent.
Oh, nice.
And crazy Jeff Hoover, I have twisted his arm to MC the event.
Oh, that's probably good, too.
Yes.
Yeah, probably good.
And I'll pray for you.
Okay, thank you.
Where is this going to happen?
It's at Concord Place, which is in Northlake, and the address is...
It's a banquet hall, isn't it?
Yeah, and a senior living building.
Oh,
It's a bit of an interesting place. Yeah. But it's at 401 West Lake Street in Northlake.
And I just told Tracy, that building has been there. I've lived in that area for a long time. I've never even been in it. So I'm kind of looking forward to this.
This is a pretty epic building because if you go 294 North to get to the airport, you pass it.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, and it's been there forever. I thought it was a storefront, like a movie scene set, again, with the Mel Brooks. But it's an actual building with people in it.
Right. I think at one point it was supposed to be a hotel, but they didn't get an
off-ramp or something.
Yeah. And so it failed miserably.
It was supposed to be this big. Exactly. Yes. And they never got the exit or entrance ramp, and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's been many different things. But it's a nice building. I can't wait to see it.
Yes.
And have you done it there the last couple of years?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. Actually, one of the co-committee members works at the building, so we have a little bit of an in.
Oh,
so.
Very good. Mm-hmm. Well, very good.
It's Laughs to Remember the Benefit. Saturday night at what time?
It is starting at 6 p.m., and actually it'll start with past hors d'oeuvres, open bar all night, or most of the evening. I think at one point we turn into a little bit of a cash bar, and then there is a full sit-down dinner, the entertainment, and then also silent auction and a 50-50 raffle, and all proceeds benefit the Alzheimer's Association.
We think that there's plenty of money being contributed. The Alzheimer's condition is actually underfunded. By comparison. And I think it's because there's a ton of media. We know more and more people deal with the disease. But one of the great things the Alzheimer's Association does is provide care for caregivers, because one of the great burdens you can have, and it's a burden that family members accept, but the burden is the right word, is having to take care of somebody who is going through it. It's really, really, really difficult, and there's tons of resources at the Alzheimer's Association, and they do a wonderful job with it.
Yes, absolutely, and they've actually been a great partner for us. When we started our first year, they just kind of helped us here and there, and then have become such a huge supporter, helping us create the website to purchase tickets and do all of that and get the word out there.
So the Alzheimer's Association is so generous with its funds. There's a Greek-American rehabilitation facility on the north side that specializes in Alzheimer's care, and one of our coworkers' fathers took advantage of that and was a huge beneficiary of the Alzheimer's Association. Oh. So they distribute the funds to a lot of great buildings.
You know, it's funny, too, because a lot of people think, well, all the money that goes to these organizations and we don't hear enough about improvements. I would counter that. I would say all the money that's gone into cancer research, for instance, and we've had tremendous developments to beating back the number of cancers that are out there and curing many. Alzheimer's, as a condition, there's talk that in the next 25 years we may have a cure because we know what the cause is. The question is, how do you stop this brain plaque from building up the way it does? So your dollars matter.
Yes, they do.
That's
absolutely
the point. Events yes. like this matter.
Yes, and thanks for giving me the opportunity to talk about it.
And Erin, you mentioned Erin this
yes.
morning. Her flight was canceled.
Yes.
She was also going to try to be in here today. Who is Erin?
Erin works with the Alzheimer's Association, okay. the Illinois okay. chapter, and it's unfortunate. She was hoping that she'd be landing at O'Hare and hopping in an Uber and heading right here, but we know how flight delays happen, so I'm on my own.
No, it was that worked out. That's fine. That's
Alzheimer's-Illinois.org, /laughs to remember, or just go to Alzheimer's-Illinois.org and search Saturday night or Laughs to Remember. Oh, it's there.
Yeah, it'll be
easy
there.
To find.
Mm-hmm.
Easy to find.
Absolutely.
Nice to see you, and again, say hi to Jeff.
I will.
Have fun Saturday night. And it's probably nice to be out and be able to talk.
Yes, absolutely.
Because yeah, I'm guessing if you're with Jeff, you don't get to say that many things.
He's a little more quiet at home than people would probably expect. So, yes, yes.
We love Jeff, you know.
I know. Everybody loves Jeff.
Oh, not everyone. I'll give you that.
And you are yes. the wind beneath his wings.
Yes, thank
yes.
you. Thank you.
It's true.
Well, she's the best.
I know.
Yeah. She gets a tax break for marrying him.
Yes.
It's 919. Help these folks out. Alzheimer's-Illinois.org in all cases all year long. We'll come back, get more in a second. Oh, let's do the match game.
Okay.
Let's do the match game next on 720 WGN. We needed two contestants at 312-981-7200 if you'd like to play. And we might even get a little trick-or-treating by phone in before 10 o'clock, too, though. A couple of texters thought it was creepy when I asked people what they were wearing.
Oh, sure. Well, yeah.
Yeah. This is 720 WGN. Now I'm going to play the match game. I'm looking at monitors. There's television monitors all over the studio. Of course, we're on CLTV right now. But on every channel are grown-ups dressed up.
Yeah.
Remember when Facebook ruined Facebook, when all the adults got on Facebook?
Yeah.
Facebook was just a college thing. It's hard to say it ruined it, but it was ruined, I suppose, with 2 billion people on it. But it was not just a cool college thing anymore. Are we getting close to the point we're going to ruin Halloween for kids?
No.
This adult dress-up thing is a little out of control.
You're just looking at Ryan Seacrest dressed up like Wonder Woman. That is a little scary.
Okay, but did our parents dress up for Halloween? No.
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 My dad dressed up every other day.
Oh, really?
Not Halloween.
Just wore costumes around the house?
Yes. 364 days a year he would wear costumes, except for Halloween. Mm.
I mean, little kids are going to be all in anyway, right, for the candy?
Oh, yeah.
But at some point, little kids have to go, seriously, Mom, Dad, isn't this about us?
I like dressing up.
Would you ever give candy to somebody who showed up not dressed up?
Yes.
I've done it before, but I've put them through the ringer.
Okay.
Yeah, especially if they're in a big coat because it's really cold, you know, then you feel bad.
No, but I mean, the preteen, like the junior high kids.
Oh, yeah, I do.
The junior high kids come up to the door and I go, oh, look at you. Look at you.
I give them.
Oh, that's great.
I give them each two. I give them each two. Everyone gets two candy bars, and then if it's the end of the night, they get three.
Because I always had an extra bag for my sick brother, and let me just clarify: I don't have a brother.
Ah, yes.
But I made some cash. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. One little tip: if you have a busy neighborhood, deli meat. Keep deli meat around so you can throw a couple slices in the bag at the end of the night.
Yeah.
Also, if you get a rude kid, give him a Snickers and maybe some pastrami. See how that smells in the morning. Yes. At 9:25, Jim is in Gray's Lake. We're going to play the match game. Good morning, Jim.
Hey. Hi.
Hey. All right, Jim, so here's the way this works. You have to match the celebrities with a question host John is about to give you. Are you ready to play?
Terrific. I'm ready.
Right, here we go, Jim.
Don't give your answer out until John says it's okay.
I will ask you for your answer, all right, Jim? Here we go. Victor Frankenstein said to Igor, I told you we were going to put in a normal brain, not the brain of blank.
Oh, this is like a 2-foot putt.
Victor Frankenstein said to Igor, I told you we were going to put in a normal brain, not the brain of blank. Let me make sure all the celebrities are signed in. Everybody ready? Everybody ready? Mm-hmm. Yes?
Yeah.
Yes? Okay, Jim, what is your answer?
Abby Normal.
Abby Normal.
Who's Abby Normal?
That was actually from Young Frankenstein.
Oh, it was?
Yes.
Oh, well, fantastic. So look at you,
that
dude.
That was very good.
Wow,
Abby
that's
Normal.
Impressive.
I'm going to guess that we're not going to have one match on this one. I'm going to tell you that right now, Jim. But here we go. Let's start off with Dave Ennett. Dave?
Abby.
Oh, that would have been so good.
I said Steve.
Steve. Okay.
That's good.
That's good. Andrea, yes?
I said Cochran.
Cochran?
Dig, dig, dig.
Mary Sandberg.
I said a man.
A man.
Yes! Hashtag me too.
Mary Vanderbilt.
I was confused. I said Inga.
Who's Inga?
Isn't she the one in Frankenstein?
Mike?
Elmer Fudd.
Elmer Fudd, and then finally, Steve? I can't read
Donald
it.
Trump.
Donald Trump, yes. Okay, Trump. Very good.
I was going to go there.
So much
go.
For the 2-foot pump. Pump?
Putt.
Sorry.
Putt.
So me and Eddie sort of won.
Bill, hold on. So far, or I should say Jim hold on. So far, you're in the lead with zero. Zero currently leading. Let's go to Bill. Bill, you have to get, let me check. Yep, one. You have to get one.
Just one.
Okay, I'm ready.
All right.
Bill, okay, real simple, Bill, and just hold on to your answer until I ask for it. The Wolfman said to Dracula, so what if you have to drink blood every day? Every full moon, I have to blank every hour.
Wait, who said that?
Wait, just say it again.
Okay.
Do it again.
Oh, I got it.
Okay, okay. Yeah. The Wolfman said to Dracula, so what if you have to drink blood every day? Every full moon, I have to blank every hour. Okay, let me just make sure. Take your time, celebrities. Everybody ready? Do we? Everybody have an answer? Andrea does not look like she's completed her answer.
I don't like my answer.
She doesn't like her answer?
I don't like the question.
Mary doesn't like the question.
I don't like either.
I like them both.
We are not looking for Inga. Okay, let me just clarify that.
She was in Young Frankenstein.
Is everybody in? Everybody in? Yes? Mm-hmm. All right, Bill, what is your answer?
My answer is I have to shave my tongue.
Shave my tongue.
Shave my tongue. That's not bad.
That's not bad at all.
That's not bad.
Don't know why it was so specific.
Doesn't match me, but that's not bad. Hold on.
That's all right. Shave your tongue. Okay, that's very good. Let's start off again with Dave. Dave, what is your
howl?
Answer?
Wait.
What?
Why would he only
go
howl?
Go to Andrea. Go to Andrea.
I'm sorry, Andrea, yes.
I said howl as well.
But why?
What? You and me, Dave. We're in two, baby.
Why would he only
howl? That's a couple of white lightnings right there.
Hold on a second. Why would he only howl at a full moon?
No, it didn't. It didn't say full moon.
I didn't like my answer. I need to.
Yes, it did. Every full moon, I have to blank every hour. That's okay.
You know, it's shocking that you two were listening. Howl, howl, howl.
Put howl.
I get it.
Yeah. Mary Samber.
Powder up.
Powder up. Okay.
Powder up. He might be sweaty.
He might be.
There you go. Well, he's got a lot of hair.
Samber, you're back in the bad zone.
Mike.
Call my wolf mother.
Call my wolf mother.
The worst.
Okay.
I am Mary Vanderbilt upstairs.
Six new celebrities.
Yeah, you guys goofed up, of course. Shave.
Shave
He's
is
hairy.
What we were looking for.
Yeah, well, that's a match.
That's okay.
Yes. Shave and shave the tongue.
Shave and shave the tongue, yes.
Thank you.
Shave
is good.
And Steve?
I said host the Situation Room.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Well, I got me a firewife. I got me old fiddle. When the sun's coming up, I got cakes on a riddle. Life ain't nothing but a funny, funny riddle. Thank God I'm a country boy. Woo-hoo!
9:46, the great Orion Samuelson still with us.
Big O, indeed I am.
Big O, was Halloween a deal when you were a kid?
Halloween was somewhat of a deal, but a little different than today. We didn't get dressed up in costumes, but in the country we would do things like load an outhouse in a farmyard onto a pickup and haul it into the small town of Ontario and plant it in the middle of Main Street.
And laugh! Oh, how you'd laugh.
Oh, yeah, that was so funny. And probably the hardest thing we did was to, we had a bachelor farmer living next to us that we picked on, I admit, and we took his wagon apart one night and piece by piece hoisted it to the roof of his barn so that when he got up the next morning, his wagon was sitting on the roof of the barn.
Fully assembled on the roof.
Yes. Fully assembled.
Not like you ADD-addled kids with your video games and your texting. You got to commit to that joke.
You bet you do, and we did. Oh, I guess the other thing we did, too, he had a dinner bell on a post in his front yard, and we got about 1,000 feet of binder twine and hooked it up to that dinner bell and then went way out into the pasture in the woods. And we'd ring the dinner bell, and he'd get up to look at it and shake his head and go back to bed. And yeah.
So okay. Were you in a gang?
Yes. A gang? No, we didn't have a gang because we were too busy working to be in a gang.
He was in the overhauls.
Well, that's also why you can't trick-or-treat on farms, because you could be out for 3 hours, hit two farms, and get two bars.
Yeah, that's exactly
that's right.
That's right.
And the thing that made me angriest, we had to shock corn once we had cut it. We would have to stand it up and shock it. You see that in some of the cartoons of the old days of Halloween. And one night, I don't think they're my friends, but never found out who they were. They came and tipped over 400 of them after we had spent a week, putting them together. That made me angry.
Yeah, I don't blame you. And that's why you had them whacked in a Wisconsin farm mob hit.
Oh, they were never seen again.
By the way, there weren't lawyers worried about all your costumes, right?
No.
So if a kid did have a costume, it was probably lead paint based, or maybe 1 year. Didn't you go as asbestos?
I don't think I knew what asbestos was at that time.
What was your favorite candy when you were a kid?
Favorite candy, the kernel corn candy.
Made out of actual kernel's corn.
Yes, right. No, the candy, the sweet candy corn.
My dad.
Still around.
My dad would be 96 this month, or this coming month. And when he was a kid, he talked about how corn candy was an unbelievable treat. Like you'd get it once a year, and it was like you won a contest.
Yeah. Right.
Well, now they have the new, is it Mira? Am I saying that right? The
Mirai?
Mirai candy corn?
If there's Mirai candy corn, I'm in.
Yeah, it's phenomenal.
Yeah.
We haven't developed that yet, but we're working on it.
My father also loved the hard candy. Because I don't think he had access to chocolate very much. I mean, Hershey bars and things like that, you just didn't get them.
No, they were a special treat when you got them. And the other thing in the fall, if you got a crisp, delicious apple, that was a treat.
It's a big deal.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
Did they have candy apples?
Not at the grocery store in Ontario, Wisconsin, population 527 people.
Yeah, and Orion didn't have time for that. He was too busy doing 1,000 feet of baling twine and messing with a neighbor.
In the next county.
What's going on in ag this week?
Well, we're still behind on corn harvest and considerably behind, but luckily we've had decent weather that hasn't blown the corn crop down. The numbers that we got this week, 54% of the corn crop in the country harvested, and normally in the five-year average we'd have 72% harvested. So we're running way behind on corn. But again, there's a reason for it. It has to get down to a certain moisture to keep from spoiling. And generally, you have to buy a lot of fuel to run the dryers. But this year, we're letting Mother Nature do it. So soybeans, pretty well on average, 83% harvested. The average for 5 years is 84%. And down in South America, well, they're having some problems. Argentina, heavy rains again. So they're looking at maybe not as many acres of soybeans planted. And Brazil has had its problems. And, of course, this is the time of year we watch Brazil, Argentina, because they're planting while we're harvesting, and they're our biggest competitors in the world market. So we keep an eye on South America perhaps more than we do North America.
You had talked about Puerto Rico, and we don't really import much from Puerto Rico. It's a big area, though, to make pharmaceutical drugs.
Yes.
And I would assume they're having problems getting imports in, so we're concerned about power and getting water and supplies to folks. But how are they doing for food? Have you heard?
They are getting the food, probably not in the big variety that they would like. As a matter of fact, at the FFA convention that I attended last week in Indianapolis, there was a delegation of FFA members there from Puerto Rico, and had conversations with several of them saying, you know, you just can't bring everything back immediately because the entire infrastructure is gone. And so the distribution area, the roads to get food out to the people who need it, he said, it's a challenge that won't be fixed for a while, regardless of how much money you put into it. So, not fun.
We played the other day with the Kennedy papers being released. We played your announcement back in 63.
Yes.
On the air when you read the tiny piece of teletype that Kennedy was gone.
That was probably the most memorable event in my live broadcast experience because it's noon. Management is out to lunch, and it's basically me in the studio for an hour doing what then was called Country Fair. And when the bulletin, Gene Doretti was the newsman who came running in from the newsroom, gave me this strip of paper that said President Kennedy has been shot in Dallas. And then what do you do?
Because right, right, because it's not the internet.
There was no internet. You know, right. All there was really was Walter Cronkite on CBS News, and they had to take some time to get him on. And so what do I go back to the forecast and keep waiting for a bulletin. And probably every 2 minutes repeat the bulletin that I had, the only one. And because we didn't have a record turner, so we could go to music and play music. Because that was a musicians' union requirement, and he was out to lunch. So there I am with a microphone and a newsman who doesn't have anything new for 25 minutes before Walter Cronkite finally came on TV and said the president is dead.
Here is the moment from November of 1963 with Orion. Listen.
President Kennedy and Governor John Connally of Texas have been cut down by assassins in downtown Dallas. They were riding in an open automobile in downtown Dallas, and a Secret Service man was heard to say, he's dead.
There is another Chicago connection to this story that came out in the release of these Kennedy files.
Yes.
And it's Sam Giancana, who I'm guessing you guys probably didn't hang in the same circles.
No, we did not, but we certainly were aware of him and his role in the crime syndicate, yeah.
The CIA foiled plots to kill Fidel Castro, or the CIA's foiled plots to kill Castro are well known, but what wasn't known until this past week was phase one of the assassination plot, sometime around 1960 or 1961. The CIA plotted to make poison botulism pills and get members of Sam Giancana's mob to deliver them to Cuba into the hands of somebody who could drop them into Castro's drinks.
Really?
They also tested out the idea of Castro apparently liked diving, and they tested out the idea of lathering the inside of a diving suit with some sort of infectious situation that would kill him from the inside out.
Like a chemical?
Yeah.
Would be on the inside?
Yeah.
Wow.
And a suit would be presented to him.
Well, I met Mr. Castro once, and, you know, the word was that We would continue the embargo until he was gone. And when I shook hands with him back in 1999, he almost broke my hand. And I thought, if we're going to wait till he dies, we're going to wait a long time.
And it turns out you were right.
Yeah.
All right, my friend. Thank you as always.
Okay. Thank you. Have a good week.
That's Orion Samuelson. And we're back with Bill and Wendy next on 720 WGN.